Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to another edition of the Pens Nation radio show. It has been a very long time since we have been on the air, but we're back tonight, November 27, 2012, and we still have yet to see NHL hockey, really any signs of NHL hockey coming to us, as the NHL and the NHL Players Association continues to try to knock out a deal. Really haven't been doing too much lately. Did talk a little bit a while ago. Nothing really happened. The players gave another proposal. The NHL simply did not like what they saw in it once again, as here we are still in the lockout here, and it's getting closer to the month of December. Thank you for joining us once again, everybody. It's good to be back. I'm Andy Hughes. I'm here by myself for now. I'm not sure if any of the other guys are going to be on, but we're happy to at least get back on the air. I've certainly missed doing these shows. We're going to have Josh Yowie from the Tribune Review, always a fun guest to have on the show. He'll be joining us here tonight, probably very shortly. But the NHL and the National Hockey League Players Association plans on meeting tomorrow, and they are turning to mediators. This is something that they did back when we lost the season. They actually did this, and then 3 days later, they canceled the season. So you certainly don't want to see that happen. You really want to see this third party at least try to make some kind of difference, because as we've seen throughout this whole lockout, these two sides can't agree on much. They've agreed on, we do know that they've agreed on 13 of 17 issues, but those four left, they're probably maybe the biggest issues. So, with the player contracting and the hockey-related revenue, all that stuff is all up in the air. Owners not wanting to honor some of the contracts that they signed off on. Who do you lean towards? Early on in this lockout, the players, they really had this lockout locked down. I mean, a lot of people seem to be on their side for a long time, but now I'm not sure. I don't know who to believe, but we do have a caller on the line. Is this Josh Yowie?
Indeed it is, gentlemen.
It is. How are you, Josh?
Well, I'm just sitting here in the man cave drinking an ice-cold Mellow Yellow.
Ooh.
Wishing I was, like, talking about hockey, and instead we're about to talk about the likes of Gary Bettman and Don Fear, but nonetheless, it's good to be talking with you guys.
Yeah, it's certainly good to be back on the air as well. How is the lockout life treating you? I know you've been spending a lot of days at South Point watching the 10 or so Penguins and Brent Johnson practicing. I'm sure that's getting quite old.
Well, I was talking with Joe Vitale today. He's there every day, and I said, Joe, would you agree with me that South Point is the most depressing place on earth right now? And he thought about it for about 10 seconds, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, yes, I would. And it's just, it's just awful. It's like the same 10 guys, and I give them credit. I mean, the work they're putting in is unbelievable. Usually for like an hour and a half, like when they're all done, Craig Adams like does wind sprints afterwards. Like, oh, my God. Like, there might not be hockey for a year, and Craig Adams is doing wind sprints. It's like Crosby, Adams, Kunitz, Dupuis, Niskanen, Lovejoy, Fleury, Johnson. Those are Vitale. Those are pretty much the regulars, and they're working hard. But are they working, for any good reason at the end of the day? Who knows? I mean, nobody knows right now, obviously.
Now, you were at the you were actually there for the Gary Bettman conference, and you noticed a little fan kind of interrupted. Tell us that story. I know you really wanted to talk about this on the show here tonight.
It was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen in my life, guys. I mean, manager offices are at 6 and 46 in Manhattan, and there's a pretty big amount of media there. Oh, it was a pretty big day last Wednesday. You actually thought maybe there's a chance this PA offer is going to go somewhere. And so, you know, Doc Fear comes out and he talks. And I notice after he talks, there's this really creepy-looking guy. And he's got his two kids with him. He's got two boys, maybe, I don't know, 10 and 8, something like that. He was just kind of hovering over the media while Fear was talking, which I thought was kind of odd. He was clearly a fan. And then I hear the guy say to his kids, he says, "Let me show you how it's done." And I'm thinking, well, what's he talking about? So, you know, I forgot about it. And a few minutes later, Bettman comes out. And, you know, right in the middle of Bettman's little press conference, this guy just starts asking a question. And it was kind of a valid question, so it didn't get your attention at first. But then you realize, oh, my God, it's the creepy fan who's asking the question. And Bettman realized, like, halfway through, like, oh, this guy's not a part of the media. So he just ignored him. And this guy wasn't having any of it. And he was just all over Bettman, like, started shouting him down. And then when it was over, you know, Bettman had said, "Listen, I'll talk to you when this is over. You're not a member of the media." So to Bettman's credit, he handled it fairly well. And Gary doesn't handle a lot of things very well, but he handled this pretty well. And he went over and talked to the guy. And, you know, I had a very animated, uncomfortable conversation. And the guy kept screaming at him, you know, "I'm a fan. You got to respect the fans. We just want hockey." And he was really barbaric looking. And I go up to him afterwards. I said, "Excuse me, sir. I have a question for you." I said, I think I know the answer, but I want to know who your favorite hockey team is." Mm. And, of course, he says, "I'm a Philadelphia Flyers fan." I said, "I thought you were." I said, "You just had that look." And he, like, thought that was a compliment, which, of course, it really wasn't. And his name is James Hall, and he spells James, J-A-Y-M-E-S.
Oh, wow.
So,
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, he's from Lancaster. I would assume you could, you know, do a Google search or something to find his phone number and, you know, have some fun with him at some point.
We can pick him out.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to go too far with that guy. He probably looks like he might own a lot of weapons. But, No, it was just so weird, the whole thing. I mean, Fear comes out, he's full of crap. Bettman comes out, he's full of crap. Then you just have a fan interjecting his thoughts. And it was a total circus. And sadly, not a real productive day. And here we stand. I don't know. We've been talking about this lockout for 2.5 months. And is it close to being over? Who knows?
Yeah, I remember I think the last time we had you on, we asked you on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, would we be playing hockey? And I think you said 7. Has that number changed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're down to about 4.5 right now, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm holding out hope. I still think there's a chance. And you know, a lot of people, it was weird. I talked with a lot of players today about the mediator situation, and every one of them was, like, really dismissive. And I mean, Craig Adams basically came out and said it's not going to make a difference, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, I think they're basing it on the fact that the mediator did not work in 2004. But this is a much different situation. I mean, you know, in 2004, they were still fighting about a salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that was a lot different.
I forget what one of the Penguins today. Oh, it's Crosby. Crosby said, "You know, this is about money. That's all it's about." They even came out and said it. So when it's not about a fundamental issue, and it's just about money, I have to think the mediator is going to have more of an opportunity to at least, you know, set a scenario where maybe these guys could go to work. Now, that said, I mean, listen, there's no lock here. You're dealing with Fear and Bettman, two guys who will absolutely shut down the season if they get their way. We know that about both of them by now. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily feel extremely confident, but that said, it's just about money, and that's what a mediator's job is to figure out a way to make it work. So I think the next few days could be interesting, but am I confident that there's going to be hockey this season? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I still think there's a chance, but things aren't looking real good right now, let's be honest.
Yeah, they certainly haven't given us many signs that there will be a hockey season, that's for sure. But you've been seeing Sidney Crosby a lot after practice and stuff, and by his quotes, you can really tell that he's starting to get frustrated. Is he getting, you know, is he really showing that frustration, you know, not only with his words, but just, you know, just the way he looks? Does he look like an angry man?
He kind of does, and, you know, first I have to take it just from the sports writer standpoint. you know, we absolutely love this because Sid's always very polite to deal with, a really nice guy.
Yes.
I don't think he's ever really said anything interesting in his first 7 years in the league. He's just, he's not some soundbite. He almost goes out of his way to be boring at times. But all of a sudden in the last month, he's been unbelievable.
I know.
It's like he's it's a new and improved quotable Sid, and we're enjoying it. I think it's good, too. I mean, I like him speaking up, speaking his mind. He is angry. He's really angry. I mean, I've never seen him like this. And not that he's taking it personally, but, you know, he's thinking to himself, I'm 25 years old. I'm right in my prime. I'm healthy for the first time in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now I might miss an entire season, you know, because of a stupid labor dispute. I mean, it's got to be maddening for him. And I keep telling people, you know, listen, I know it's like, you know, 4-on-4 drills and just these haphazard practices at South Point, but he looks unreal. Like, he looks faster than I've ever seen him look. And, you know, he's just huge. I mean, you can tell he's worked out all summer. So I really felt like going in, you know, back in September when I saw him skate a couple of times, I said, geez, he's gonna win the scoring title this year. He's going to have one of the great seasons of his career. I mean, you could just tell. Just the way he clearly worked out all summer. And, you know, and he's pretty devastated right now. He really is. And I'm not going to speak for Sidney because I know he would never say this in a million years, and I give him credit. He's been very loyal to the union, but you know, he's in a tough situation right now because he has to be loyal to the union. I understand how he feels that way, but if it were up to him deep down, if he could just say, hey, let's take the owner's proposal and play right now, and this is me speaking for him. He's never told me this, but I'm not so sure he wouldn't. I mean, he just wants to get out and play. He's not, you know, so money hungry that he's going to go on a big stand about this. He wants to play, and it's got to be really hard for him because, you know, as the face of the league, you know, they've had him, you know, go to a few meetings in New York and stand there right beside Don Fierdor in his press conferences, and, you know, I give Sid credit. He goes along with it, does it, but, you know, is he kind of annoyed with both sides in this dispute? I get the feeling that he is.
Yeah, no, he's talked about playing in possibly Russia or Switzerland. At what point do you think he will actually do that? Do you think he would actually wait until they would announce the whole season is canceled, or do you think maybe he's starting to look into it a little more and maybe he'll do it before they make any kind of announcement?
I pretty strongly believe that he will not play overseas until the season is officially canceled.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I mean, you know, Rob Rossi and I were in contact with Pat Persaud in the last couple of days, and you know, I know there have been some reports coming out that, you know, Sid's getting closer to playing in Europe. Well, he's been saying that for 2 months. I mean, he's never said that he wasn't going to play in Europe. He's always said, you know, he's going to wait and see what happens here first. And, he'll go. And like I said, he's 25 and he's barely played in the last 2 years. He wants to play hockey somewhere. He sure as hell doesn't want it to be in Europe, but if that's what he's got to do, that's what he's got to do. And, you know, the countries you're going to hear most are probably Switzerland and Sweden for his services. You know, it's funny. I actually heard from a couple of people today. Don't be shocked if he finds a way to play with Gino and Sarge. Magnitogorsk.
Oh,
so, that'd be pretty awesome if that happens. We might have to, like, try to, like, steal plane tickets or something and make our way to Russia. Absolutely. We all would. I don't know if that'll happen. That's just one little rumor that was floating out there. But, so, yeah, he's not going to have some dramatic press conference tomorrow and say he's going to Europe. And that's not going to happen until after Christmas, I promise you. But will he do it at some point, probably in January, if it's clear that there won't be a season? I think there's a very high probability that he will.
Yeah, and I feel like that's really all the NHL and NHLPA has. I feel like until NHLPA, I mean, I feel like if it gets to the January 1st, I feel like there's no chance that there's going to be a season, so I think they really have to hammer out a deal here soon. I mean, they're running out of time.
Yeah, we're going to know before Christmas, I think, if there's a season or not. I've felt that all along, and I don't feel differently about it now. And they're not going to, in the words of Craig Adams last week, he said, we're not going to start a season in March, and he's right.
No.
And now I know, Andy, this is before your time, but the 94-95 lockout, which some of us old guys remember pretty well, that didn't start, I believe the season started January 20th, and they jammed 48 games into the season. So if you're looking for a guide as to the latest point that they'll start a season, I would say probably they could have a season mid-January and probably get 50 games in a regular season, something like that. So I think that would be the cutoff, and that would mean really the last possible time they could agree is probably, you know, January 1st, January 3rd, something like that. So if you're looking for a guide, and Bettman even said last week when Bettman was asked when's the latest point you could start the season, and he said, well, look back to the history of, you know, other labor disputes, and there's your answer. So,
yeah.
So there it is. But, you know, unfortunately, we haven't gotten to that point yet where we can worry about piecing together a schedule, even though that would be fun.
No.
And one thing, if they do have a season, I've been told by a number of people from the NHL, and we pretty much know it for a fact now, that they would not be playing any out-of-conference games.
Yeah.
So they're ready for a lot of Devils and Rangers and Flyers games.
Mm. Well, certainly nothing wrong with the Flyers games. They're certainly very entertaining.
Speaking of the Flyers, you know, Claude Giroux is pretty messed up with a concussion. In fact, he visited our old pal Ted Carrick yesterday in Georgia.
Wow.
I think anytime you can mention Ted Carrick's name on the air, you got to do it.
Yeah.
He became like the ultimate cult figure from the Crosby concussion saga.
Yeah. Is Giroux going to be considered a Ferrari now, or?
Well, I don't know if I consider him a Ferrari, but I mean, you know, he's very good. I think he deserves some credit. And by the way, for all that some people seem to think Ted Carrick's a quack or whatever, Crosby swears by him. I mean, it's amazing the loyalty that he feels towards him, and perhaps rightfully so. I mean, hey, Sid knows who helped him and who didn't, and he has nothing but good things to say about the great Ted Carrick.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, this, how bad this lockout is. How bad is it for the Columbus Blue Jackets, who at least maybe have had something going here with the All-Star game, but now that's gone, and they can't even have it next year because of the Olympics, and we assume that NHL players will probably partake in those. So the earliest they get is 2015, and I believe their arena lease is running out, I think actually 2015 as well. So rough times here in Columbus.
Yeah, I've actually gone to calling them the Quebec City Blue Jackets, which probably isn't very nice.
Yeah.
But I think that's a franchise that could be in very serious trouble, actually. And, you know, the All-Star game, maybe it's not what it was 10, 20 years ago. And I know people in Pittsburgh, my God, we've had so many big events here that the All-Star game is kind of sneeze at. But to Columbus, it's a big deal. And for whatever reason, for struggling NHL cities, your season ticket base will skyrocket when you have an All-Star game. And, you know, Columbus, you know, I really feel like hockey can still be big there. And that's a pretty big city. And I feel like if they would just ever get some momentum, they could really have something there. But this could, you know, really be devastating to a franchise. And I don't ever remember a time when you had this many cities who really wanted to acquire an NHL team. And that's their problem. Quebec City really wants a team. Seattle really wants a team. Hamilton wants a team. Kansas City wants a team. I might be forgetting one or two. I mean, you know, if you're worried about your franchise leaving town, this isn't a good time because there's a lot of buyers out there waiting to get them. And, I mean, I don't want to say the Blue Jackets are as good as gone, but I'd be concerned. I really would. And they're not the only team that's hurting. Obviously, they are losing the All-Star game, but there's a few other franchises that aren't exactly what you would call stable right now. You know, obviously the Phoenix Coyotes, we all know about that situation. The Florida Panthers are totally broke, too. I mean, they don't make any money down there. And you know what? If they lose an entire season, you know, they actually made the playoffs last year. Maybe they gained a few fans and some sponsors. Those are all out the window now if we lose a season. So for a team like that to finally have a little bit of momentum, this could be a bad, bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, we've talked a lot about the teams that aren't playing hockey, but how about some of the teams that are? Wilkes-Barre, Scranton Penguins, 11-7. They're in third place in the East Division. We saw Eric Sangrady get off to a little bit of a goal streak there, has 9 goals and an assist in 18 games. Bo Bennett has been starting to do some things. I know he had the game-winning goal, I think one of the two. I know they have a 3-game winning streak right now. Hopefully Tangrady continues that, and hopefully that can translate to the NHL because he has, you know, has had a lot of potential to fulfill here in the NHL. Do you think he can keep that going, hopefully?
Yeah, you know, one thing about Tang Grady, he's never really dominated at the AHL level before.
No.
And until this year. And so I think it's really encouraging to see the progress he's made. And you know, with him, it's always going to be a matter where fans say, well, until he does it in the NHL, we'll believe it when we see it. And that's fair. I mean, the guy's got one goal in 41 NHL games. Not exactly blowing anyone away, but he's been really good. And he's going to make the roster if there is a season. And there's just not a lot of depth of wing. He's going to get his chance to be a third or fourth line winger, and we'll see what he does. And I'll tell you, I haven't really had a chance to see Bookstrike play much, but I'm certainly in contact with those who do. And, boy, the reports I have received on Bo Bennett are through the roof. And that's a good thing for Penguins fans because, you know, he is a legitimately talented prospect. He's a top six guy. And there really aren't many top six guys in the organization in the minor leagues. I mean, for all the wonderful talent they have on the blue line, and how many blue chip forwards do they really have? Just Bo, really
many.
Just Bennett. So when you only have one in Bo Bennett, he better come through. And just, you know, what I've been able to see him play in person at the rookie camps and stuff, his hands are off the charts. Great, great hands.
Oh, yeah.
Just a great offensive mind. And he had a broken wrist last year. But, yeah, that can be a tough injury to come back from. You don't always get your shot back right away, but apparently this is working fine. And, yeah, I don't think he's NHL ready yet, but he got to be really, really encouraged by what he's done. I think in a couple of years he could certainly be a good NHL player.
Yeah, certainly. I was going to say, when I saw him in the prospects camp, he said that his wrist was only at 80%, and his wrist shot looked amazing at 80%. And I can only imagine what it looks like at 100%. So really good to see Bo get it going down there in Wilkes-Barre. He's a really good guy, too. Not only a good hockey player,
but
just a good guy to talk to and really nice guy.
Bo Bennett's going to be a popular kid when he gets here. The girls are going to like him. He's a good-looking kid.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a charisma about him. He really does. He's good and he knows it, but he's not arrogant. He's just, you know, he's got a swagger about him, and he just knows how to score goals. I mean, it doesn't take long to watch him play to see that his offensive instincts are just really advanced. And it certainly looks like a good draft pick right now. And, you know, we won't know for a few years, but don't be shocked to see him in Pittsburgh in a year or two. I think you will.
Yeah, I think so, too. And boy, Josh, obviously the no hockey season is really, you know, killing us, but man, the Steelers certainly aren't making it any better, are they?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell's going on? I mean, I don't know.
Pittsburgh sports, we've been like cursed since 2009, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know what, when you have all those good things happen, eventually you're going to pay for it. And, you know, I will include the Penguins in this. I talked with Crosby on Monday. And we were just asking him about labor stuff, and like when he was done with the interview, he looks at us. He says, "You watched the Steeler game yesterday." We just started laughing. I said, "Did you make it through all four quarters?" And he said, "Yeah." And the amazing thing was, like, they still could have won with 2 minutes left. I said, "Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, it's not every time you see a team turn the ball over eight times and still have a chance to win final possession." But that was. My God, what a brutal game. And it's shaping up like a really dark holiday season for Yinzer Nation here. I mean, my God. I mean, the Steelers look like they're, you know, they make the playoffs, they're probably not going far. Yeah, there might be no hockey. I mean, Pitt basketball is going to have to save everyone. And if you're not a Pitt fan, well, that doesn't do you any good. And, you know, then what do you have to look forward to? Bucko baseball in April.
Oh, man.
I mean, I think the Bucks might stink this year. I think they might be worse than people think. Yeah, they got the Astros out of their division, and you know, the Cubs look better. That division's pretty good. I mean, I don't know. These are not good times. But, you know, everything can change, guys, because, hey, say if, you know, hockey comes back, well, guess who's still the odds-on favorite in Vegas to win the Stanley Cup? Your Pittsburgh Penguins. So, obviously, that could change everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see what the mediators are able to do here. Guy Saro will not be be in there, though. That was an interesting story.
I mean, yeah. Only in a circus like this would, you know, somebody be, you know, not allowed to be a mediator because of comments he made on Twitter. I mean, it's just like, I don't know. The NHL, what is it about this league?
I don't know.
Like, they just can't help themselves. Like, nothing ever goes right in this league. And like I've been saying for a really long time, hockey is the greatest game of them all. NHL, however, is not the greatest league of them all. I will believe that until the day I die. It's just, I mean, this league just, for as great a sport as it is, you know, Mario called it a garage league 20 years ago, and I don't know if Gary Bettman likes that fact. But, you know, he had a pretty good reason for saying that.
Yeah, he absolutely did. Mario certainly knows what he's talking about. I kind of thought about that the other day. I was like, man, Mario's right. I mean, it's just a joke. It's just ridiculous.
He knows, and it's kind of funny because, like, I mean, Gary Bettman's a very interesting figure for the city of Pittsburgh because you can't deny that he really, really helped the Penguins stay here. I mean, he did.
Oh, yeah.
He went to bat for the city of Pittsburgh. So I think there has to be a little bit of a loyalty to him. But at the same time, I've never been under the impression that Mario was really enamored with Gary Bettman. I mean, I just don't think he was. And Mario's in a very interesting situation. He's not allowed to speak, of course, or he gets a $1 million fine, which is kind of a joke. But, you know, that's how Gary likes it. Did you see Mario's new house, by the way?
I saw reports of it. I didn't really see much about it.
Yeah, there's if you Google his new house, it's in Quebec. It's about an hour north of Montreal in some resort.
Oh.
It looks like a Swiss castle, which is what it's been called. And I think everybody listening should Google Mario Lemieux new house just to see this house. I think it has like 14 bathrooms or something. Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. It really is.
I need to look at this.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good for him, you know. And I guess some people were actually upset, like, you know, why would he be opening a house, you know, during this labor dispute? Like, you know, it's his own money.
Oh, come on.
And it's not like he doesn't pay to the salary cap every year. I mean, he's not depriving the city of any money at all. I don't know, guys. This whole thing, you know, some people are pro-player and some people are pro-owner. For me, it's really hard. I'm not saying this because I'm objective, you know, covering it. It's just really hard to take a side. Because there's a lot of people full of crap on both sides. I'm actually probably a little more pro-owner than some people. But, you know, that said, both sides have a lot of drawbacks. And listen, if this thing's going to get done, the players are going to have to give a little bit. I promise you Gary Bettman's not going to give. He's not. The owners will they'll miss the season. They don't care. I mean, I should say they don't care, but they will. And if the players give a little more, there will be a season. I think that's basically what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm looking at this picture of this house. It's a monster.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Goodness.
It's somewhat overwhelming.
That's
I remember,
amazing.
Like, when I was a kid, Mario lived in Mount Lebanon. You know, you kind of drive by and like, get a glimpse of his house. Like, ooh, that's cool. Then he moved to Swickley. That's too far for me. Now, you know, of course, he's still going to spend the majority of his time in Pittsburgh, of course. But I think he might be spending some summers up in Quebec and might have his parents living there, that kind of thing. But Mario's a man of taste. When he decides to build something, it's always first class. It's, you know, we can agree with Consol Energy Center and his new home in Quebec. It's a nice little vacation home, you know.
Oh yeah. And I think Yager still owns his house in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Yager's house is right behind Upper St. Clair High School. And I do believe he owns it. In fact, he used to rent it to one of the Czech Penguins that played here a few years ago. Oh, I don't know if there's probably people out there know who. It might have been Robert Lang or one of those guys. I know Yager used to rent his house, too. And I do believe he does still own it, which is really weird.
That is weird.
Well, maybe, you know, his gambling debts haven't gotten to the point where he has to sell all of his houses. I don't know.
I don't know.
Good for Yags.
Maybe Peter Svoboda's in it.
Oh God! I was thinking about Svoboda the other day. I think he can solve this lockout. Just go to Bettman's office and throw Svoboda and Alan Walsh in there and let them sort it out. Alan Walsh has become like as Kato Kalin was to the OJ trial. Alan Walsh is to the NHL lockout. I mean, he's just priceless. Oh my God, is he entertaining? I mean, it's just holy crap. I wrote something last week that irritated him, I think. He took a little shot at something I wrote. I'm like kind of afraid now. I mean, he's a little volatile.
Yes.
I don't want to make him mad. I want him on my side. And I honestly do love all of his clients. I mean, this is a guy who represents Marc-Andre Fleury and Pascal Dupuis and Mike Rupp, like three of the greatest guys of all time. So, you know, I'm on his side. I'm on Alan's side. But he has been fun to watch during. Like, my favorite Alan Walsh moment was the whole lockout. It was actually the night before the lockout, like 3 hours before. The Florida Panthers president tweeted something like how cherry yogurt is his favorite kind of yogurt or something. And Alan Walsh writes back to him like, "Hey, jerk, don't you know the lockout starts in 3 hours? Is this really what you're tweeting about?" Like, oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. This guy's great.
At least he gives us some kind of entertainment during his lockout.
At least he's got some passion, you know, because
he does.
I mean,
we could use that. We could use more passion in this negotiation.
I mean, and who is more passionate than a good hockey fan? I say no one. I mean, hockey fans are the greatest, as you know, and Crosby even brought it up yesterday. He said a lot of the players have been talking about the fans. Crosby said, you know, listen, we know the fans are what make this game go. And he spoke at length about how bad he feels for the fans, and I think he was sincere. I really do. And I mean, I just feel so awful for hockey fans. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm a hockey fan myself. And when I'm, you know, at home when the Penguins aren't playing on a Wednesday night in December, I'm, you know, finding a hockey game to watch. That's what I like to do. And to have this happen, perhaps for 2 years in an 8-year span, it's just stunning. And the game came back better 8 years ago. I don't know how it's going to do it this time. The game is going pretty darn well. And we do miss this whole season. I cringe to think about, you know, what losses might have been incurred. It's a real concern.
Yeah, maybe we should throw Cy Clark into the negotiations.
Yeah, you know, I saw Cy a few weeks ago at South Point. Man, he's ready to go. He's as irritated as it gets. He had all these road trips planned as only Cy can.
Oh, man.
I think he was ready to hit the road. He was ready, you know, it's Cy. And exactly. I mean, the Penguins fans have developed, like, all these cult figures. And between Cy Clark and, you know, my pal the Knitting Lady.
Oh, yeah.
I could go on and on. I haven't spoken with the Knitting Lady in a little while. I think we do speak on the phone sometimes, by the way. Our relationship is that tight, you know. She's actually, like, knitting a hat or something for my 4-month-old son, I believe. So, Yeah, we're tight. Sometimes I do a pizza with Knitting Lady and her husband, Penzer, your daddy, after games. We will meet up on occasion. Like, I miss all these people. And this isn't cool, you know? I mean, what are we going to do?
I miss going to the morning skates and just chilling at Consol. That was nice.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, like, Consol Energy Center is such a great place. Like, it literally puts you in a good mood just to go to work there in the morning, even if it's just a practice. I mean, it is. And, and, you know, if you're a Penguins fan, well, let's be frank. Yeah, Crosby and Malkin, right in their primes. You got to think, as long as you have those two guys when they're in their 20s, you know, they're Stanley Cup contenders. And so just to lose a season of that, possibly, it just, you know, it's not good for the city. It's not good for the franchise. And that's why, you know, Mario and Ron Burkle aren't showing up with the Jeremy Jacobs of the world. Because, you know why? They want a season. They want a season bad. That doesn't mean they're going to go against Gary Bettman in the league, but they know they have a great team, and you know they don't want to miss out on a prime year of Malkin and Crosby's career. Who would?
Yeah.
Not good for anyone.
No. It's really not. But I think we're run out of time here. So once again, thanks for coming on tonight and chatting. Another edition of the Lockout Pens Nation radio show. Always fun. Hopefully next time we're talking about the season starting.
I would love it. Let's hope that's the case.
I hope I've never been so excited to like talk about like who's going to play on the line with Sid. I mean, I think that would be awesome.
The thought of Tangredi on the third line excites me at this point if it's something other than talking about the lockout, you know?
Just talk about anything other than that. All right. Well, thanks, Josh.
All right, take care.
Take care. All right, well, that was Josh Yowie, and we thank you for listening to the podcast now. Thank you for joining us for the Pens Nation radio show. We will be on hopefully soon. Just continue to check our Twitters at the Pens Nation, and we will let you know when the next show is. Until then, I'm out.